love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salam ala sayyid al mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka
ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to our special series of programs. And as you can see, the studio is all lit up. We're all lit up here. And in the background, you heard a voice. That means I've got a guest with me, inshaAllah, Azawajal, in the studio. And before I introduce my guest, I'm going to let you know a little bit about the program itself and the topic that we have today. Our role model, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his life, we learn about his life, his teachings, his sacrifices that he made for us. But in the midst of all that, he was the greatest role model that we can have. And sometimes we have this misgivings that we have, that we think he was a role model 1400 years ago. What significance is he today? Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a role model then, he's a role model today, and he'll be a role model for all of us until the Day of Judgment. And in this series of programs, we talk about different aspects of his life and the different types of role modeling he did, because he fulfilled his role as a role model in many, many different spheres. And in each one of those spheres, his character, the things that he said and did for us were guidance for all of us for today, tomorrow, until the end of time. Before we begin and introduce the topic of the day, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's one of my very easy ones to remember, one of the very easy ones to act upon, and I'm going to share that with you. I've shared it with you many times. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person recites salutations, recites Durood-e Pak upon me, just 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night, with love and devotion, these are the conditions, with love and devotion, it'll become incumbent upon Allah azawajal to forgive all the sins that he committed during the day and all the sins that he committed during the night. I've said it many, many times before, viewers on the channel. Please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. As we know, viewers on the channel, that Allah azawajal has told us in the Quran about the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ideal role model. Allah azawajal said that there's certainly been for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern for anyone whose hope is in Allah on the last day, and who remembers Allah azawajal often. Now he played, as I said earlier, he played many roles in his life. But the one role that he took on at a very early age, as a youth, as a young person, he took it on as a young person, and that role he fulfilled throughout his whole life, was the role of a husband. And inshaAllah azawajal, today we're going to talk about the role, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his role as a husband, how he was. And I'm hoping that the brothers that are husbands or potential husbands are going to be watching this program, and hopefully we're going to learn something about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was the ideal husband, the ideal role model for all the husbands to try and follow in his footsteps. But today we want to talk a little bit about his role, as a role model as a husband.
SubhanAllah.
And you know, I'm sure that you've got some motherly pearls that you can share with our viewers, and some examples of how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the perfect husband.
Yeah?
And I'm hoping that our brothers that are watching this program can listen to it and understand it, and hopefully pick up some good motherly pearls.
SubhanAllah. Khalid bhai, you know, you mentioned early on as well, our beloved Prophet, the mercy for the universe, the last and final messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, is a role model from every aspect of his life. Whichever angle you look at towards his life, you'll find guidance, you'll find him as a role model, you'll find him as a leading individual, the best individual, the best personality. And similarly, if you look at his life from the family perspective, so as an individual, how he deals with his family members, how he reacts with them, how he manages his day-to-day routine, you'll find our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a leading individual as well, who is a means of guidance for everyone, even today. And if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, you'll find that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was so busy and involved in the propagation of deen. Now he has a huge responsibility. Yeah, if you look at the early life Now, from the announcement of the prophethood and in the life in the Makkah Sharif, how difficult it was, how painful it was, so many hurdles came in the way during the propagation of deen. And even in those difficult situations, when you look at the life, the family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, you'll be amazed to see that subhanallah wa aqali salatu wasalam is something unique. You know, sometimes, you know, as an individual, when you're so busy in your business, in your life routine, that those things affect your family life.
Yes.
But subhanallah, when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah, we see that on one side, aqali salatu wasalam is so heavily involved in the propagation of deen and dealing with matters, meeting so many people. On the other side, his family life, subhanallah, is one of the beautiful aspects of his seerah. And you'll find our Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the best husband in the whole creation.
I think one thing that I've already, you know, learned, I was thinking as you were talking, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had a perfect balance in his life.
Subhanallah.
That he realized that yes, he had this responsibility, he was the final messenger, he had to propagate the deen, he had to meet all of these people, he had to guide them and instruct them, but he was also, he fulfilled all of his roles in such a way that none of them were affected by the other roles.
Subhanallah.
The role as a husband was not affected by the fact that he was a leader.
Subhanallah.
The role as a leader were not affected by the fact that he was a friend or he was a father. All of these roles, they were separate, but they were also overlapping, and they never affected each other. He fulfilled each of these roles amazingly. And I think, you know, as you were talking, I'm thinking to myself that, have we got the right balance in our life?
If you look at our life, unfortunately, you know, many occasions, you know, you'll find that we throw all the frustrations and the anger towards our family.
Yes.
Because of something happened outside, and that's not right, is it?
That's not fair.
As a normal, it's not fair on the family. Why do they have to face all this? But subhanallah, even regarding this, regarding our family members, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a very beautiful guiding principle, which even now today, if we follow, we can better our family life. Our beloved Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said that amongst you, the best amongst you is the one who is the best towards the family.
Allahu Akbar.
And himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that with my family, I am the best amongst you.
Allah.
Yeah, there's
Allah.
No one like the way I am with my family. Yeah, that's again, you know, and we see that in many examples of his life. I want to share, you know, when you talk about family life, there's so many aspects. There's so many aspects of family life. One of them is that, you know, because we talk about husband role. So husband role, one of the key role of husband is to please his wife. Yeah, and you see that beautiful glimpse, you know, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make extra effort, used to do certain things just to please his beautiful wife. Subhanallah, one beautiful example that comes to my mind is that when once, subhanallah, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has so much authority and power. Once he brought grapes of heaven and gave it to Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha to eat.
Allahu Akbar.
To make her happy.
Allahu Akbar.
Look at that. Look, this is called authority. This is, and at the same time, you know, if you look, you're asking, talking about gifts. And Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was blessed with a gift that came from the heaven, from Jannah. And what was it? It was a food from Jannah. SubhanAllah, why was it? It came so the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala still wished to please his beautiful wife. Yeah, that shows that, you know, we as a Muslims as well, we need to make sure that, you know, are we doing those certain things as well?
Are we doing anything?
Are we doing anything to make them happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we just expect them to fulfill their duties, right? And even then, if you look in Sharia, the duties are not what we think the duties are. And, you know, then we complain when they don't fulfill their duties. Yeah. But we never praise them, we never love them, we never respect them. And you look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave that. He gave that to all of his. And you know, the other thing that was amazing, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you realize that at a young age, he married, you know, someone that was older than him.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, in that, there was a lesson there to be learned for us as well. Because nowadays, you see a lot of people that, oh no, I'm not going to marry anybody older than me. You know, they think it's negative. And yet the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And then when Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, you know, put a curtain between this world and the next, all of his wives, I feel that in each and every one of them, I think it's fair to say they were all different types of women, in the sense that And so he educated us on how to deal with each of them in different ways. Sayyidina Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiAllahu anha, she was young. He dealt with her in her way, and all the other ways in individual ways. And that is why, you know, the status as well, the status of the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are the mothers of the believers. What a great status they also had as well.
You know, you're talking about the role of a husband for the wife. One of them is that, you know, you want to look after their prestige, their greatness. You want to increase their status. So these honorable ladies who were so lucky to be in the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as they came in the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have got this particular status that no one else till the day of judgment will have.
Subhanallah.
And that status is that these are what you just mentioned early on. They are ummahatul mu'mineen. They are the mothers of the Muslims, of the believers. And this title is so great for them that even at that time, on front of the Sahaba, they were the ummahatul mu'mineen. They were the mother of the believers. Even now as well. And this connection, when we say they are the mothers of the believers, what do they mean? It means that one, when we talk about our biological mothers, yeah, you have that mother and then you have ummahatul mu'mineen. The mothers, you know, who are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these mothers of the believers, they have a higher rank. You can say 1,000 times more important than your real mother.
Allah.
That's how important their shan is, their greatness is. And you know, no one was allowed to, you know, when someone passes away, then someone can perform a nikah with someone. But these are such noble ladies that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left from this world, you know, apparent, you know, leaving of this world, after that, even then, no one was allowed to marry to them. This was their shan, this was their greatness. Yeah, and how did they get this? The key thing is, yeah, it's the connection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a husband.
Allah.
So as soon as they became the wives and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the husband, look how their maqam
Allah
is.
Allah.
And not just in the dunya. Yeah, these have a great status in Jannah as well. These are so honorable ladies, great individuals. And one of the beautiful aspects of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his role as a husband is that he used to, there's an Urdu phrase called khush tab'i. Yeah, you probably have heard this phrase so many times. Khush tab'i. Yeah, khush tab'i.
I've heard it many times, but I was thinking, how do you best translate it? You know, I've heard it so many times. How do you translate it?
That's the reason I use that term as well. So it's hard to best fit that word.
I think khush tab'i is to try and make someone happy.
Try to please someone.
Please try someone.
To have a good humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Light humor, making
light humor,
them smile.
Yeah, making someone happy.
You know, enlighten their heart.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're stressed and then you want to say something and it lightens your heart.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people watching this program now and they'll give us they'll send us in the translation of khush tab'i, inshallah.
So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make khush tab'i of his honorable wives on many occasions. Yeah, and there's a beautiful incident that I want to share with you today. And I thought, when I read that, I thought, subhanAllah, it's so beautiful. And you know, if there's any husbands or wives are watching this program, you know, this is something that definitely, you know, we need to take this on our life as well. Once Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that once me and the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam were on a journey. I was blessed to be in a journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we stopped at a place. And during the pausing, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam instructed the Sahaba to continue. You carry on. Yeah? And when the Sahaba ikram continued to go, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha had a race.
Allah.
Had an actual race, the running. Yeah? And she says that at that time, no, she describes herself that I was slim and skinny. So in that race, I took the lead.
I won.
I took the lead. And I was so happy. Yeah? And then, you know, some time passed. And a similar situation happened. That I was with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in another journey. And we stopped another place. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba, you continue, please carry on going. And whilst they've gone really ahead, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala had the race again. Yeah, subhanAllah. However, this time, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that during this part, my weight had increased. And so in this race, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala won.
Yeah?
I know what happened after this. Yeah, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam touched my shoulders and said to the wife, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu ta'ala anha, now this, that my winning is basically, I've got you back now. Subhanallah, look Allah at the love Akbar between them, look Allah at the beautiful, beautiful, you know, atmosphere.
Allah. And viewers of the channel, you're watching our special series of programs, Our Role Model, and we've got a little package that we want to share with you now. Watch the package, inshallah. It's about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model with his children, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll continue with the topic that we have today. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Did you know that there are certain actions and deeds we can perform which will cause the innocent and sinless angels to pray for our forgiveness? Let me mention a few of these to you. The first one is, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, Allah ta'ala and his angels send salat on those who adorn an imamah on Friday. So make a habit, every Friday, try to wear a turban, try to wear an imamah sharif. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, the angels will pray for your forgiveness. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he explains that for the angels to send prayers means that they seek for the forgiveness of the people. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and this one is for the wives, that the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, the angels in the heavens, and the sun and the moon seek forgiveness for a wife that is obedient to her husband for as long as she remains obedient to him. According to Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the normal angels and the throne-bearing angels continue seeking forgiveness for the person who lights a lamp in the masjid for as long as the lamp continues to burn. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that whoever writes salat upon me in a book, angels continue seeking forgiveness for him for as long as my name remains in it. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that whoever recites Surah Ad-Dukhan, 70,000 angels will seek forgiveness for him. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has given glad tidings for those who seek knowledge. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the entire creation of the skies and the earth seek forgiveness for the seeker of knowledge. So my dear brothers and viewers of Mandi channel, fortunate is that person for whom angels are seeking forgiveness for. So try your best to act upon these points so that they, the innocent and sinless angels, pray for me and you. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all with these angelic prayers. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching this special series of programs, Our Role Model. And today we're talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model, as a husband, the ideal husband. And you know, Tawfiq Bhai mentioned a beautiful incident where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would race, and on two occasions he raced with his blessed wife Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu alayhi wa sallam. And during the break I was saying to Tawfiq Bhai that, you know, that time when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these things happened, in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women were not given any status whatsoever. You know, at that time we read in the history books that females were buried alive. They were treated like cattle. They were, you know, disposed of. They were passed on from generation to, you know, family member to family member. They were given no respect or no love whatsoever. So at that time it was probably almost alien, you know, so unique what it is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set this example down. And maybe, you know, if you think about that time, you know, how people looked to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is, you know, so unheard of. I mean, in the same way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he hugged and he kissed the children, and people said that we've never hugged and kissed our children. Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you've never shown mercy to them. And this is, again, just shows us that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, being that role model then, for a role model that's going to stand until the end of time, was probably even harder. Because nowadays, for example, if you were to say nowadays you were well-mannered and you were respectful, then people might accept it a little bit. But I think at that time, it was even harder for people to see that. This is so unheard of.
No, Khalid Bey, if you look at the background to this though, someone who would be so nice and kind to his wife will be because he's aware of the rights of the wife.
Yes.
Yeah, and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us with his practical way of life, how he used to deal with his honorable wife. And I'll give you one example which explains how careful our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is regarding to his wives. Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had 11, according to ulama, had 11 wives. There's a detail of this as well. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 11 wives, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay with them in turns. So each wife had a turn a day to fulfill the right. And subhanallah, near the time of when the illness took place and near the apparent passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wished that I want to spend this time with Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. However, I need to fulfill the rights of the rest as well.
Allah.
So neither time the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said to the wives that tomorrow, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked them, tomorrow whose turn is it? And someone could have said, it's my turn. Someone else could have shouted, no, it's my turn, please come to me. Well, you know, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of believers, they had so much respect and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they did not say anything. They said, instead of insisting that come to us, they said, Ya Rasulullah, it's your choice, wherever you wish. Yeah. So
Allah.
Look how the way opened, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to stay with Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he remained in that house to the last moment of apparent passing away. And if you look at the background, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask that question? Because maybe if I stay with her, and someone else will be upset. Now they've come to agreement, they were happy with that.
I mean, you could say that he didn't have to ask.
He didn't have to ask.
Yeah. And he could have just ordered and said, this is what I'm going to do. And they would have listened. You know, but the fact that he asked the question in itself is showing that he's fulfilling their rights. And you know, getting them. What's the word in Urdu? Ittamat milana. You know what? How would you?
Confidence.
In confidence, getting them in confidence, get them in the trust that they are also part of what is happening. And I think that again is an important aspect of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any of his roles as a role model. That he took everybody in confidence. He didn't just order people to do things. He get them all in confidence and took everybody along.
You know, in the family life between husband and wife, there are times that you have important discussions. When you're about to, as a husband, you're about to make important decisions, and you sometimes talk to your wife as well. You take her into confidence, like you mentioned. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take the advice on many occasions. He used to ask them. And you know that famous incident when the revelation took place, the revelation of the Quran.
The first one.
The first revelation. And when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went towards Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, during that discussion, what was it? It was taking advice. This has happened to me, what do you say about this? Yeah, he was taking advice. Similarly, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, that was the time when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took advice from one of the wives as well. And then, not just took the advice from them in an important decision, also took the advice and made them happy.
But nowadays,
by acting upon the advice.
You know, nowadays, Tawfiq bhai, if someone says, oh, I'm going to go and ask my garwal, I'm going to ask my wife, I'm going to ask my mother or the children. Why are you asking her? And you'll be looked down and people make fun of you. That, can't you make your own decisions? And they'll say, who's wearing the trousers in the house? And they'll joke with you. But this, again, is a lesson for us that in taking the opinion of your wife is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing wrong in it.
Sometimes in life, when you're making some important decisions about your career, about your work life, or even in family matters as well, if you take your own wife into consideration as well, take her into confidence, then make that decision, that will improve your family life.
Without a doubt.
Because if you don't do it, there's always going to be
it's
a doubt.
Be hard.
Why did he not ask me?
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're making some important decision, it's not like you make it in an instant, do you? Sometimes it takes you weeks.
Yeah.
So you've been thinking about something for a while and you're ignoring someone in your family.
But it's like a two-way thing. I was just thinking as you were talking, Tawfiq, by that. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK and anywhere around the world, wherever Dawah Islami presence is, there's a lot of brothers that are, mashallah, giving a lot of time actively working. And, there's a saying, isn't there, in English, behind every great man, there's a great woman. In the case of all of the mubaliks of Dawah Islami that are working day and night, unless they've got the support and understanding of their wives, they would not be able to do it. Now, that understanding is not just saying, I'm going. Yeah? I'm going on a Madri Kafla for 3 weeks. I'm going on a Madri Kafla for 12 months. That understanding is the relationship that they built up with them. To have that understanding. And so that when they come up, that I'm going here, I'm going there, they accept it and understand it and appreciate it and support it. And I remember there was a brother saying to me that, this was when my wife was alive. And he said to me that, you know, when you come to my house, can you get your garwala to speak to my garwala? And I said, why? He said, I want her to be more active in the environment of Dawah Islami. I said, brother, does she support you? And he said, yes. I said, does she say anything that when you go on a Madri Kafas and you go and you don't come back for 12 years? Nothing. That, alhamdulillah, is such a great, great, great support. And you don't know how lucky you are. So I think if, you know, we have that support, that understanding, and that only comes with understanding. It doesn't come with saying to your wife, I'm doing this. It comes with understanding, with love and respect of each other's values. And we're in it, getting people in trust, itamat bilana, that is the way to go forward. I'm going to take another break, inshallah. We've now got a kalam that we want to listen to, inshallah. So let's listen to the kalam of the day, and then inshallah, when we come back, we'll listen to some more Madani pearls from Tawfiq Bhai. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Huzur aa rahe hain, huzur aa rahe hain, huzur aa rahe hain. Marhaba.
حدیث قدسی ہے اللہ عز و جل اپنے محبوب اکرم صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم سے فرماتا ہے کہ میں نے دنیا اور اہل دنیا کو اس لیے بنایا کہ تمہاری عزت اور مرتبہ جو میری بارگاہ میں ہے ان پر ظاہر کروں اے محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم اگر تم نہ ہوتے میں دنیا کو نہ بناتا ذرا سوچئے کہ جو وجہ تخلیق کائنات ہوں جب ان کی ولادت کا وقت آئے تو ہم مل کر کیوں نہ خوشیاں منائیں
مبارک 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 مبارک
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
نہ کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے نہ کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے خدا کی خدائی کہ مختار آئے خدا کی خدائی کہ مختار آئے نہ کیوں بارہویں پہ ہمیں پیار آئے کہ آئے اسی روز سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مرحبا
پر نور کی آمد
مرحبا
فوت کی آمد
مرحبا
امین کی آمد
مرحبا
مسرت سے ہم کیوں نہ دھومیں مچائے مسرت سے ہم کیوں نہ دھومیں مچائے ہمارے شہنشاہ سردار آئے ہمارے شہنشاہ سردار آئے مسلمان صبح بہار مبارک وہ برساتے انوار سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے
مینا کے گھر پر اے خلد کی بہاروں سرکار آ رہے ہیں
مبارک تجھے آمینا ہو مبارک مبارک تجھے آمینا ہو مبارک تیرے گھر شہنشاہ ابرار آئے تیرے گھر شہنشاہ ابرار آئے مبارک حلیمہ تجھے بھی مبارک تیرے گھر میں نبیوں کے سردار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
کیوں ہو نہ پیارا عدد ہم کو بارہ کا کیوں ہو نہ پیارا کہ بارہ کو دنیا میں سرکار آئے کہ بارہ کو دنیا میں سرکار آئے درودوں کے گجرے لیے اب بڑھو تم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
حدیث پاک میں ہے میرے آقا صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں تم میں سے بروز قیامت لوگوں میں سے میرے قریب تر وہ ہوگا جس سے دنیا میں مجھ پر زیادہ درود پاک پڑے ہوں گے آئیے اگر قیامت میں قرب مصطفیٰ چاہتے ہیں تو اپنی زندگی میں کثرت سے درود پاک پڑھنا اپنی عادت بنا لیجیے
درودوں کے گجڑے لیے اب بڑھو تم وہ آئے رسولوں کے سالار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مرحبا
آخر قیامت
مرحبا
یاسین قیامت
مرحبا
طہٰ قیامت
مرحبا
سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے وہ ہم آسیوں کے طرف دار آئے وہ ہم آسیوں کے طرف دار آئے نہ کیوں آج جشن ولادت منائے نظر رب کی رحمت کے آثار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور آ رہے ہیں نہیں جن کی پیاری زبان پر نہیں ہے نہیں جن کی پیاری زبان پر نہیں ہے وہ مکے میں سخیوں کے سردار آئے وہ مکے میں سخیوں کے سردار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ ہمیں اپنا غم دو شہا چشم نم کے طلب گار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مرحبا حامی یتیموں کے والے غریبوں کے حامی وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے سیاہی ہمارے گناہوں کی دھونے بہاتے ہوئے اشک سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور
کا صدقہ بقیے مبارک ولادت کا صدقہ بقیے مبارک کی دو گز زمین کے طلبگار آئے کی دو گز زمین کے طلبگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ مدینے میں آقا مجھے موت ہے میرے سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مرحبا
ولادت کا صدقہ نقاب اب اٹھا دو ولادت کا صدقہ نقاب اب اٹھا دو لیے ہم سب امید دیدار آئے لیے ہم سب امید دیدار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے
ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر مدینے میں ہر سال عطار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور آ رہے ہیں حضور آ رہے ہیں
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
دلدار کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مرحبا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, I hope you enjoyed that beautiful kalam there as well. And again, we said it before that these naats, these kalams, this time of the year, the mehfil, the malaz, the julus, all of these things are ways of showing the love that we have for the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And not only showing love, but also a method of instilling love into our children so that they value and respect and love the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم as he should be loved. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching our role model, and today we're talking about the greatest role model. Who else but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But specifically, we're talking about his role model as a husband. And it's a role that he literally fulfilled all his life. He fulfilled it as a role model where he had a single wife, and he fulfilled it as a role model when he had multiple wives as well. And mashallah, we've got Tawfiq Bhai. Ji, Tawfiq Bhai.
Khalid, early on, we were talking about that race incident.
Achha, the race incident.
Yeah, and how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, made her so happy and excited by saying, look, I got you back. Last time you won me, this time I won you. You know, look at that love, happiness, the sharing between each other. It's understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's minding. No one's saying, why did you do this? Why did you not do that? It's that's how it needs to be. The question for me and you and the husband or wives are watching this program is, you know, are we that open to our family members? You know, if someone, you know, says even a small sentence, or even, in fact, I'll give an example of that for today. Although it was like a light amusement, you can say. But what happened, I said a word to someone. It was just one word. And it was not in the family, but a very close friend. Something happened and I just rhymed a word. And it probably wasn't an appropriate word, you can say. But I said it as a joke, you can say. And that person, in a way, he minded.
Took it.
Yeah, he took it very offensive. Mm. Yeah, he said to me, you said the words that you said, they weren't appropriate. You know, he said, I know he was joking with me, but he was showing that he's really angry. But in a real scenario, he could have been angry as well. So we had like an understanding, and you, although he's showing anger, but it's not real anger. Yeah. However, it could be real. Yeah, I was thinking, well, this actually could be, and that word I said, although I rhymed it, yeah, it wasn't appropriate. So, you know, for a few of the noble people, I said, I apologize. So I agree that what I said, I shouldn't have said it. I apologize. And he goes, I forgive you. Yeah. However, he brought that topic again. He said, the words that you used, they weren't appropriate. I said, hold on, it was a word. It was a word. You know, sometimes even a gesture that someone is making, and that might turn your mood off. Yeah, or you might become hot-tempered, you might go crazy at home. That's not how it should be. So we need to learn how to live our life in a tolerant way. Even if a family member, for argument's sake, he's made a mistake, he's doing a stupid thing, the worst thing ever, at the end of the day, he's your family member. Yeah, you still have to respect that person. If it's your wife, if it's your husband, if it's brother or sister, whoever it is, you can't just, like they say, you can't just shoot them, you can't just get rid of them. It's still your family member. At the end of the day, you have to learn how to live with them. And the best thing is, you know, when you're not happy with someone, and if you want to do something about the situation, the best thing is make friends. Find a way to make friends. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard. But I'm saying in a nutshell, you need to resolve this because there's no other solution. Because you're a family member.
We're going to have another small break now. You're watching Our Role Model. We've got a final package of the day, inshallah. We'll go and watch this package now. And inshallah, when we come back, we've got approximately another maybe 10 minutes to finally try and give you some more advice with regards to the greatest role model, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and specifically his role model as a husband. Let's go to the package. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. The Rasul of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم, arrived as mercy for all the worlds. It wasn't just adults who reaped the benefits of his mercy, children did too. The greatest and noblest Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was very compassionate towards children. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, would call them to meet him, stroke their heads with his merciful palms, and pray for blessings and bounties to be bestowed upon them. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hisham's mother took him to the blessed court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stroked his head affectionately and prayed for him to be blessed. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would also delight the children and fill their heart with happiness. It is narrated that the younger brother of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a sparrow. That sparrow died. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam went to his house and said, "What has happened to Abu Umair?" Someone humbly replied, "His sparrow has died." The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to him amusingly, "O Abu Umair, how is your sparrow? O Abu Umair, how is your sparrow?" On his return from a journey, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam allowed children to get on his mount, that is, the animal that he was riding. When any child was born and brought to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he prayed for it to be blessed. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam shortened his congregational prayers whenever he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam heard the cry of a child during it. Shafqate Mustafa, marhaba marhaba, rahmate Mujtaba, marhaba marhaba, sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching this special series of program, Our Role Model. Who else but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as an ideal role model? And today we're talking about his role model, his role as a husband, and that is a role that he fulfilled literally throughout his whole life in different scenarios and different places. We have, mashallah, brother Tawfiq Bhai with us in the studio, who's got a few motherly pearls to give to us before the end of the program. Time is very short, Tawfiq, but I know you've got plenty to say, mashallah.
The family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the honorable wives with basics, not basics, in fact, in-depth knowledge of deen as well. There are two wives in particular, they have had a bigger share in this. They've had a bigger strength, you know, they took so much knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these two individual personalities are Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. These two ladies in particular, they had a lot of, you know, passion to learn, and they put so much time and effort to learn the principles of deen. And then this knowledge that was passed on and transmitted to the wives, this has been passed on to many other people afterwards. And, you know, just to give you an insight of how much knowledge these honorable ladies possessed, in particular, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that even in later part of the life when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, you know, departed from this world physically, when Sahaba Ikram, these were giants, these were oceans of knowledge. Yeah, even them, when they used to get stuck in a particular matter that they want to resolve, they used to turn towards Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And they used to resolve, she used to resolve their problems, you know, in an instant. And they say, wow. But this was the blessings of the knowledge that Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam had taught her. Yeah, that shows that as a husband, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam taught her his honorable wives with so much knowledge.
I think that's a very important aspect as well, that we see a lot of people that whatever knowledge they have gained, especially Islamic knowledge we're talking about today, that you'll see that the brothers are very, they have that knowledge. But unfortunately, you see that the wives have very limited knowledge. And, you know, I've known of instances where, you know, the wives of scholars don't have the basic knowledge of the deen. And unfortunately, some of our scholars are not passing on that knowledge to the family as well. And I think it's very important that, you know, that the knowledge base is throughout the whole of the family. That not only the wives, but the children, that their knowledge increases. If you learn something, you should go home and teach it to your wife, teach it to your children, so everybody can benefit from that. And like you say, it's a perfect example that we see that in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his role as a husband, that in the case of Sayyidina Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, that she was a mufti of her time. She was the greatest of her time. And she narrated many, many hadiths, and many, like you said, many, many problems were resolved when they came to her.
Now, another important factor that we need to discuss today, I know we got very short of time,
yeah.
But you know, if you look at because the topic is husband and wife, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed 11 ladies to be their wife. Someone might think, 11 wives? Why so many? And what was the reason? One thing that we need to clear in our minds is this was not due to any personal desires, any feelings, but there was circumstances.
Yes.
That they arise, and that's how the marriages took place. I'll give you two examples. One is, if you look at the wife and their age when they got married, yeah, other than Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, all the rest of wives, they were all married previously.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, they were divorced.
Divorces always.
Some were once, some were twice divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah? And not just this, they were actually mature in age as well, they're not young.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's one aspect to keep in mind. Second, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got married first time, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around 25. Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was around 40, 15 years gap. And 15 years, not just a difference, but she was higher in age. Yeah. And then not just that, she was divorced a few times. Yeah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her so much that during her lifetime, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam did not marry anyone else. So that shows you that these incidents that took place, the marriages that took place, they weren't for any personal desires like a human being has. These were for the reasons of deen. Sometimes the marriages took place to honor that lady. You know, she was so distressed of what had happened to her life, you know, in the previous matters, and to give her comfort, that marriage took place. Sometimes it was due to bring connections with that particular tribe, bring them closer to Islam. Sometimes a particular tribe was basically downgraded, and to lift their status, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married in that tribe. There are so many reasons, and in a nutshell, the reasons were for Islam. And another important factor we need to keep in mind, it's not just our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but if you look at the previous Anbiya Ikram, this was a practice that their marriages were more than their followers. So the rules of, you know, having four marriages, for example, for a Muslim man, yeah, this is not the ruling for the Prophet of Allah. Their capacity is more, and this is proven from various verses of the Quran. So, however, even then, you know, we as in today's day and age, if someone is married once, we are, you know, I can say clearly, we are struggling to fulfill our rights. Husbands are struggling, you know, big time in fulfilling the rights of the wives, vice versa. Yeah, but the wives are struggling as well. However, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made sure the whole family lived a happy and peaceful life.
Nowadays, people are struggling to fulfill their rights, you know, because we live such a fast life now, Tawfiq, by that we're outside and we face all sorts of problems, all sorts of difficulties, and you've got this frustration, you've got this anger, you know, you're literally on the phone until you open the front door, and sometimes you're opening the front door of your house and you're still on the phone, and you're coming with all this frustration, tension, anxiety, and you put the phone down and then you take it out on them. Yeah. And, you know, you look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that without doubt, he faced a lot of, you know, people were, they were persecuting him, they were abusing him, you know, there's many examples where, you know, they would throw rubbish on him and throw intestines on him and throw stones on him and all of this, but he never took that out, you know, because when a person cannot take revenge, so to speak, in front of the person, then he comes home and he takes it out on his family. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. And so he was the ideal role model in so many different aspects. I mean, time doesn't permit us views on the channel. We're coming towards the end. I'm just realizing time is against us. But if you look at every aspect of how all of the aspects of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we were to read the seerah and try to implement that in our lives, then I believe that every one of our households would be a much better place. But in the meantime, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.